You know, in the world, the government and the governed somehow are separated. Well, it is the government of the people, by the people, and for the people. But somehow you'll find when the government is set up, it is above the people. There is a separation there. Why? That's why I say authority spoils a person. Position spoils the people. When you are taking that position, it spoils you. It makes you think that you are greater, you are higher, and you are above. But brothers and sisters, again I say in the church, it is not a matter of position. If you want to talk about position, that's the lowest position. Go and take it. There is a close relationship between the local government and the brothers and sisters in the local assembly. They are never separated. Those who are responsible for the church, they have to seek the Lord of His mind and will on everything. They are not the head. They have to look up to the head to find from the head His mind for His people. And oftentimes you find the way they find the mind of the head is through the body. Through the brothers and sisters. So in other words, you find those in local government, they shall always be in contact, in communication with the brothers and sisters, to find from the body the mind of Christ, to find from the body the needs and bring these needs to the head. You know, just like the neck, you find that everything is from all the different members, and they go through the neck and go to the head and find the mind of the head, and from the head come to the whole body. Outwardly, it seems that they decide for the church the things to be done or not to be done. What should be done and what should not be done outwardly. But actually, it is decided by the body under the head. I think Acts chapter 15 is very clear. You find when there is a problem there, the apostles and the elders do not just come together and, all right, here's the problem, let's talk about it and let's make a decision on it. No. You'll find that when there's a problem in the church, they open it to the whole church. Let every brother and sister have a chance to express how he or she feels about this matter. Not in the flesh, of course. And then these elders and apostles will take the feelings of the body, go to the Lord and seek the head about it. So when the decision was made, they say, the Holy Spirit, and we decide. So brothers and sisters, there must be a real coordination, connection communication between the responsible brothers or those in responsibility and the brothers and sisters, never separated. You know, the problem today is when people are in the position of the eldership, they think that now they can decide for the people on everything. And they just give the order and everybody, you have to do it. Not so. You have to learn to get the feeling from the body in order to bring it to the head and get from the head his mind for the body. So there is a close relationship between local government and the brothers and sisters in the local assembly. No division. No division. Finally, I would like to share something. You may not agree with me, and if you don't, I'm happy. I'm open. What form, if any, of local government should take in the time of recovery? We know that we are today in the time of the recovery of the house of God. Before our Lord returns, the church has to be recovered. Recovered to the original purpose of God. Through the centuries, the church has fallen. It has become an earthly institution. But we believe that God is doing the work of recovery. He is recovering his church back to where he originally desires for it. Now, in the time of recovery, how about this matter of eldership, of government? On the one hand, we believe that in the recovery, government must be recovered. Spiritual authority must be recovered. God's people must know authority and submission. Divine order in the house must be recovered. We believe that. Yet on the other hand, we feel there is a real problem there. If you want to recover local government or eldership, are you able to do that? In the first place, you find God's people are so divided. They are no longer one. We say the church is one. One universally and one locally. But here you find God's people are divided into pieces and bits and fragments. How are you going to put them together? You know, every child of God, everyone who loves the Lord, or even if you do not love the Lord but you know a little bit, of what the church ought to be. You know that we are one body. We should not be divided. Everybody knows that. And that's the reason why you find, in order to bring God's people together into one, there is an ecumenical movement going on for all these years. Trying to come together, talk it over, compromise, agree to disagree, and disagree to agree. And you'll find all kinds of things in trying to maintain an outward unity. Is this the unity that God is to recover? When our Lord Jesus prayed that prayer in John 17, he said, that they may be one, as you, Father, and I are one. It is not an outward union. It is an inward unity. Brothers and sisters, it is the inward unity that God is looking for. That outward union is not it. If you go to a virgin land, there was no Christian there. You go there and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and gather a people together unto the Lord. Then you are able to recover the church, not only in reality, but also in name. You can call it the church in certain place. But today, you cannot do that. You cannot call yourself the church in Richmond today. Why? Because there are many God's people who are not gathering together with you in your group. Some may be in Roman Catholic Church. Thank God there are many God's people, really born again people in the Roman Catholic system. We are not endorsing that system, but we thank God for our brothers and sisters. There are many brothers and sisters in many different denominations. There are many brothers and sisters in many independent groups, many fellowships, many home meetings. And brothers and sisters, we are one. Can we gather all together like in the early church in Jerusalem? We are not able to do that. And that's the reason why we cannot call ourselves the church in Richmond. Because the church in Richmond includes all God's people in Richmond. Thank God for that. Then what are we doing here? Well, that is the principle of recovery. We are here, standing on the ground of the unity of the body of Christ. We refuse to be divided. We come together under the headship of Christ. We have no other name but the name of Christ. We learn to put ourselves under His authority. We treasure His presence. We allow Him to be our head, and we open our hearts and hands to all God's people in Richmond. This is our testimony. That's all we can do. And that's what God wants us to do. In spite of all the difficulties, the testimony of the unity of the body of Christ has to be maintained. Now, because of this, you have a problem with eldership. Can we appoint elders today? Can we give people titles as elders? You know, in recovery, it seems to me that God is no longer looking for outward things. He is looking for the inward reality. In other words, it is no longer the title or the office of elders that he is looking for. It is the function of the elders he's looking for. The function, not the title, not the position. And as a matter of fact, in the beginning, this is what it is. It is a function that can be recovered. You compare the seven letters to the churches. One written by Paul, the other written by John. But actually, he was just taking down, dictation. But you read the seven letters written by Paul, even though there are problems in the church, you find God still recognizes that the church is in its normal situation, state. So there in the seven churches, you have deacons, elders, officials. But when you come to the seven letters of John in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. These letters are written to the messenger of the church. In Philippians, Paul is able to write to the saints in Philippi, the bishops and the deacons. But in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, written to the messenger of the church in Ephesus, in Smyrna, in Pergamos, in Thyatira, in Sardis, in Philadelphia, in Laodicea. Now, who are the messengers? We know the word messenger actually can refer to two different kinds of messengers. They can be celestial messengers, angels. Or they can be terrestrial messengers, men. Now, in this case, we believe they are not celestial messengers, because the Lord will not write to the angels there. You know, he's right to the church on earth. So, it must refer to man as messengers. But no title, no elders, messengers. Those who receive message from the risen head and deliver it to the people. They are like stars in the right hand of the risen Lord. They have a heavenly life. They have the life of Christ in them as light shining in darkness. And they are in the hand of the Lord Himself. The Lord is supporting them. They are responsible to the Lord for the local assembly. No position, no title. It is a spiritual function. They function as those who are responsible for the church in Ephesus. Brothers and sisters, does it mean that today, in the recovery work of God, the function of government, the function of elders must be recovered? Yes, it must. As a matter of fact, it has to be. Wherever God's people are together, there must be some people who function as elders. But there's no title. There's no position. And because there's no title, no position, it's more difficult to function. But that proves whether you are chosen by the Lord or not. Again, you read 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. You see such a difference between these two letters. Only a few years apart, Paul wrote his first letter to Timothy after he was released from Roman prison in AD 64. 63, end of 63 or 64. He came to Ephesus and he saw that the church was there. You know, he was in Ephesus for 3 years. He wrote the letter to the Ephesians in prison. And he came to Ephesus, and of course, those elders that was appointed before, they were all dead. So, new elders had to be chosen. And he had no time. So he left Timothy there. And he began to tell Timothy how to behave in the house of God. Now, here you'll find, in 1 Timothy, he called the church the house of the living God, the pillar and the base of truth. Great is the mystery of godliness. And in that letter, he tells us the qualifications of the elders and of the deacons. Only a few years later, the whole situation changed. You know, in AD 64, Nero burned the city of Rome. And he put the blame on the Christians. The Christians are the scapegoats. And because of that, the whole atmosphere changed. If you are a Christian, you are a criminal in the sight of the government. Christians were persecuted, were killed. Everything was changed. And brothers and sisters, when Paul wrote the second letter to Timothy, before his martyrdom, he was arrested again, brought to Rome. He was put in the dungeon, waiting to be sentenced and to be beheaded. And he knew it was coming. He wrote this letter to Timothy. And when he wrote this letter, he said, "All Asia has forsaken me." He labored years in Asia, and they forsook him. It was too difficult. They may not have left the Lord, but they forsook Paul. During his first trial, no one will defend him, be his character witness. Everybody hid themselves, lest they also be arrested. It's a difficult time. Don't blame him. He stood alone, but the Lord was with him. Everything was changed. And when Paul mentioned about the church, he said, "The Lord knows who are his, Let those who call upon the Lord, name of the Lord, depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are vessels of gold and silver, and vessels of wood and clay. There are vessels of honor, and vessels of to dishonor. Purify yourself from these vessels of dishonor, that you may be a vessel of honor, fit for the Master's use. Commit to those who are faithful. Dear brothers and sisters, here you'll find it is no longer called the house of the living God. It becomes a great house. It is no longer pure. They are vessels of honor, vessels of dishonor. Gold and silver. Gold, the nature of God. Silver, the redemption of Christ. In other words, there are people who live by the life of Christ in them. But there are people who are the Lord's, and yet they live by their own flesh. Wood, man, earthen, clay, the work of man. Brothers and sisters, the calling is purify yourself. Don't be willing to be a vessel to dishonor the Lord. Don't live in your flesh. Don't work in the energy of your natural man. Depart from iniquity. Live by the life of Christ in you. And be faithful to the very end. Brothers and sisters, what a change. You find it is no longer a matter of outward appearance. It is a matter of inward reality. So I wonder whether today, in the recovery work of God, government in the local church has to be recovered. Unfortunately, you find in many groups is anarchy. It's democracy, so-called, but anarchy. There is no order, no discipline. There is no government, no coordination. How can the church be built? May God raise up some for the love of the church, willing to give themselves, their life to the church, to represent Christ the head, and to serve the brothers and sisters. Without any name, without any title, without any position, misunderstood, step under, but faithfully serving the Lord, serving the brothers and sisters, taking care of the house of God. Brothers and sisters, this is a must. May the Lord raise up people who will function as elders. Take the lowest place and serve and lead and suffer. But do not look for a title. Do not look for a position. I believe this will deliver us from being corrupted by position or power in us. I wonder if this is the way of the Lord for His church today. I just want to share it with you. Take it to the Lord and see whether this is the way of the Lord concerning local government. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before Thee, acknowledging Thee that either we are not for government or we have corrupted Your government. We pray, Lord, that Thou will reveal to us Your concept of government. We pray that Thou raise up some people who are willing to take the oversight for the sake of Thy people. We pray that in this recovery of government, that it may be of life and not of organization. Lord, we pray that Thou will open the eyes of Thy people to recognize the government that Thou set up in Thy church, that we may know how to behave in the house of God. Teach us how to submit to one another in the fear of Christ, that the divine order in the church may be set up to the glory of God and the building up of the church. Lord, our prayer is that Thy church will be built, made ready for Thee, our King, our Bridegroom, our Head. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus.